Well, today we're actually going to be wrapping up our series that's been titled, What is Foursquare? If you've been with us, you know that over the past few months, we have been taking a look at what it means to be a Foursquare church. We call ourselves Dallas Foursquare Church. So why the Foursquare, right? What does it mean to be Foursquare? Well, these are the questions that we've kind of been answering throughout the midst of this series. And something, again, that I've tried to make clear each week is that even though we love that we are a part of the Foursquare denomination, in no way do we believe that Foursquare is better than any other denomination that seeks to follow Jesus and make Jesus number one. But the cool thing is Foursquare prides itself in being interdenominational, okay? Which means we want to work with other denominations. We want to come alongside other denominations and churches to see God's kingdom extended. But with that said, like any denomination, we do have doctrines and distinctives that really make us who we are. And that's what this series has been looking at. And so we've been looking at some of the core aspects and characteristics of who we are as a denomination and really who we are as a Foursquare church. And again, if you've missed any part of this series, I encourage you, especially even last week there was some great stuff, but God's just been doing some great things. So I just encourage you, if you've missed any part of this series, to go, to watch, to listen to it online, you know, especially if you call yourself a member of Dallas Foursquare Church, because I think it's important that we understand who we are and why we do what we do, why we believe what we believe. Now, a big part of this series at the beginning was looking at the four core beliefs that we have when it comes to who Jesus is, what we believe about Jesus. And it's these four beliefs that give us the name Foursquare. When you walk up the stairs to come into the sanctuary, we have four different squares on the wall out there, along with our denominational scripture. And those four squares represent what we believe as a denomination, what we believe when it comes to the name of Jesus, the fourfold gospel of Jesus Christ. And as I mentioned several times, that this fourfold gospel, it comes from a prophecy found in the book of Ezekiel that references these four truths about Jesus, which are the fact that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Jesus Christ is our baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is our healer. And Jesus Christ is our soon and coming King. Those represent the four squares that we talk about, the four square church. And so throughout this series, we've talked about each of these four aspects that really define the core belief that we have in Jesus. But there are other aspects or characteristics that represent who we are as a denomination. And over the last several weeks of our series, we've been looking at some of those things, looking at what those things are, specific attributes that have become a part of the Foursquare DNA, who we are as a denomination. And as I mentioned the last few weeks, a big part of who we are really has to do with our founder, Pastor Amy Semple McPherson. She was a pastor that in the 1920s was way ahead of her time. And so much of who we are as a denomination comes from who Pastor Amy was and what she believed. She had these core values that we saw throughout her ministry at Angelus Temple, values that became a huge part of who we are as the Foursquare denomination. And so a few weeks ago, we talked about being a church that's kingdom-minded. She was very kingdom-minded. Last week, we talked about being a church that's all about empowering people. She was about people being empowered, all people being empowered. And today, I want to finish things up as we talk about the fact that we are a church that is missional. We are a missional church, a missional denomination. Now, that word mission, it comes from the Greek word apostello, which literally means to send. To send out. And this idea of being missional, it means that we are people that are being sent out into our world. And this idea of mission, it was at the forefront of Pastor Amy's ministry. From the very beginning, her heart was to make disciples, right? To be disciples who made disciples. I actually lied to you guys last week. I didn't realize I was. I told you that Pastor Amy started a Bible Institute a year after planting the church at Angelus Temple. And at first I had a month in my head and I was like, no, that's way too soon. It must have been a year. But it turns out she started the Bible Institute 1 month after planting the church at Angelus Temple, right? I don't know any pastors who plant a church and 1 month later then start a Bible Institute, okay? But that's what she did. And it's because she had a missional heart, a heart to send people out from the very beginning. She believed that we are all called to be on mission. She would actually say that we were not saved to sit in the pews. We were saved to serve. And so she trained people in the Bible Institute and then sent them out all over the world. And the interesting thing about Foursquare is that we have over 17,000 churches in the United States. And that seems like, well, that's a large number, but there are a lot of denominations in the United States that have a lot more churches than that. But we have 17,000 churches in the United States, but we have more than 68,000 churches in 150 countries around the world. There are people that don't know of Foursquare in the U.S. Start talking about the Foursquare in other countries, and they know what you're talking about. And that's because we as a denomination have always had this missional heart. And it comes from the fact that God Himself has a missional heart. God has always been about mission. From the very beginning, God has been on a mission. And He invites us to join Him on this mission, this grand narrative of redemption. That's what the mission is about. And if you go back into the Bible, you go back to the Old Testament, all throughout the Old Testament, we witness numerous individuals that God was sending out to carry out His mission. And these people, they serve as a testimony of God's relentless pursuit of people and His desire to reconcile His relationship with all of humanity. Think of Abraham. Abraham, we know him as the father of faith, right? He was sent to a land that he didn't even know. In Genesis 12:1, God said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you." God sent Abraham. And Abraham's journey was not just about a change of scenery, right? It was a call to be the father of a great nation that God would ultimately use to bless all nations, to bless all humanity. God sent Abraham on a mission that extended beyond Abraham's personal comfort and security. And Moses, what about Moses, right? He too experienced God's sending when he encountered the burning bush on Mount Horeb. In Exodus 3:10, God said to Moses, "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses, we know, who was hesitant at first, right? Because he didn't think he was qualified. He didn't think he had what it took. Many of us don't think we're qualified. We don't think we have what it takes. He became an instrument that God used to deliver the people of Israel out of bondage. And he's known as one of the greatest men in the Old Testament. God had a mission, and Moses was sent to carry out that mission. Last week, we talked about the prophet Isaiah. We're in Isaiah 6:8. In the middle of a divine vision, he heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And if you remember, Isaiah responded with unwavering faith, saying what? "Here I am. Send me." Isaiah's boldness to be sent demonstrates that the heart of someone who understands that God's mission transcends our own desires and aspirations. These examples point to a pattern woven throughout the scriptures where God chose to send imperfect people to accomplish His perfect will. In the same way we talked about empowerment last week, God's mission is not limited to a select few. It's a call for all who believe in Him, because the mission of God has nothing to do with our abilities and everything to do with His power working through lives that are surrendered to Him. And as we reflect on these stories from the past, we have to understand that God continues to be a sending God today. This isn't just, oh, well, He was a sending God back in the Bible. He is a sending God today. In the New Testament, we witness the ultimate act of sending as God sent His own Son, Jesus, to reconcile the world to Himself. And then when Jesus' work here on this earth was done, He sent His disciples to what? To make disciples of all nations. And the disciples have passed that calling on to all, everyone who believes in Him. In John 20:21, Jesus says this, "As the Father has sent Me, even so, I am sending you." We are sent. We are a missional people because Jesus was sent. He was a missional God. So as followers of Jesus, we are recipients of that sending. We are called to live on mission and to be ambassadors for His reconciliation. And like Pastor Amy used to tell her church, all those years ago, we're not saved to sit in church chairs, right? We're saved to serve. We're saved to go and fulfill God's mission in our world. Our faith is not meant to be confined within the walls of a church. A lot of people are like, oh, yep, I go to church. I'm good. I'm here. Yep, this is where I exercise my faith, right? Our faith, though, is meant to propel us into the world with a purpose greater than ourselves. As we explore the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the work of the early church in Acts, we find a compelling narrative of God's desire for us to go into all the world. In Matthew 28:19-20, a section many of us are familiar with, it's referred to as the Great Commission, Jesus imparts these words to His disciples. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Here Jesus outlines our mission to go, to make disciples, to baptize, and to teach. And this commission is not just for pastors or for licensed missionaries. This mission is for anyone who chooses to follow Jesus. When we say yes to Jesus, we are called to a life of mission. Now, the cool thing for many of you out there is that you get to do undercover work, right? You don't have to wear this title on your forehead that says pastor. When everyone's like, oh, there's a pastor, don't talk to him. Oh, don't say anything bad around him, and they avoid me, right? But you guys get to go undercover, right? You get to be undercover missionaries, undercover pastors. You get to be disguised as, you know, businessmen or businesswomen, as teachers, as office managers, construction workers, plumbers, electricians, whatever, moms, dads, you fill in the blank, okay? But here's the thing, behind whatever disguise God has given you to wear is someone who's called to be a pastor or a missionary. Someone who is called to go into all the world. Last week we talked about empowerment and the fact that God wants to empower all of us. And the reason he empowers us is so that we can go and that we can carry out his mission. And the Gospel of Mark helps point out that mission. Mark 16:15, Jesus tells us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. What's the gospel? It's the good news of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to share the good news of Jesus, a message that transforms lives and brings hope to a broken and lost world. And in Acts 1, it tells how we can carry out that mission. Acts 1:8, before Jesus left the disciples, he told them this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Everywhere. The Holy Spirit will empower us to go everywhere, to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit will help us break down barriers so that we can reach the unreached. And it's important that we understand that living a life on mission is not reserved for special occasions or specific individuals. Oh, on Easter, I invite people to church. At Christmas, I invite people. It's not special occasions or specific individuals. It's a daily, intentional lifestyle. It means recognizing the opportunities that God places before us to let our light shine for Him. Whether that's in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, or our daily interactions with different people that we come across. It's us learning to extend love, to extend compassion and hope to those who truly need it the most. A great illustration for us is the story of the Samaritan woman. Some of you know this story, the woman that Jesus meets at the well in John chapter 4. Here is this woman that's been rejected by her community. Why? Because of her failures. But Jesus reaches out to her, right? Jesus simply engages her in a meaningful conversation there at the well, where she's like, wait, what are you even talking to me? You're Jewish and I'm a Samaritan. But Jesus engages her and he begins to reveal to her the truth that he's the Messiah. He's the one that's going to change everything. And she realizes the truth in that. What does she do? She goes and tells everybody she knows about him. Guess who I met? Oh my goodness, you won't believe. Oh, you got to come and see. She tells everyone. She became a witness to her community and many came to believe in Jesus because of her testimony. This encounter teaches us that living a life on mission includes having intentional conversations. Jesus knew what he was doing when he sent the disciples in and he went to that well. He was intentional about that conversation. We have to show genuine interest in others. And we have to share the truth of Jesus, the transformative power of Jesus through our testimony. Another great illustration on living a life of mission is found in Acts chapter 3. Some of you know this scripture where Peter and John are on their way to the temple and they encounter the lame man. begging. And instead of just throwing a few coins, instead of offering him silver or gold, they said, silver and gold we don't have, but in the name of Jesus, rise and walk, right? They offered him this healing moment. This act of compassion, it opened the door for Peter to proclaim the gospel to everyone who had gathered there. You see, living a life on mission means being attentive to the people around us. Being attentive to the needs around us and seizing those opportunities to let God move through us. To point people to the love and salvation found in Jesus. The problem is, so often we live our lives kind of in our own little bubble, right? Focusing on what we need, focusing on our own wants and our own desires. So often we are living out our mission, right? Our desire instead of God's mission for each of us. But as followers of Jesus, we're called to live lives in a way that honors the Lord, that glorifies him. And when we look at the Great Commission, I think it's important that we realize that we're called to obey his commands and teach others to follow his ways. Let me read Matthew 28, 19 through 20 one more time. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe, right, to obey all that I have commanded you. Jesus concludes his Great Commission with the command to teach others to observe or obey all that he has commanded us to do. And this goes beyond just following rules, right? It speaks to the intimate connection between love and obedience. I love you so much that I am willing to obey and follow your commands. In John 14, 15, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So our obedience is not born out of obligation, but out of a genuine, heartfelt love for Jesus, our love for the Lord. You see, so many people view God as this authoritative rule monger that's pointing his fingers and telling us, you can't do that, you can't do that, you must do this, you must do that. That's how we a lot of times view God. But his desire for us to follow his commands comes out of a deep love for each of us. And the realization that following his commands will actually benefit us. Because he knows the hurt and pain going down those roads will cause us. Oh yeah, the enemy makes it look enticing. Oh look, how can this be so bad? How can something so wonderful be bad, right? But you get into it, and then you realize the destruction that it brings to your life, and you go down these roads, and next thing you know, you're crying out to God for help because you're in this world of mess. God knew that that's what it was going to lead you to. He loves you that much to say, don't do these things because I know what they're going to do to your life. He knows the hurts and pains that they'll bring. And so when we truly grasp the depth of God's love for us, it ignites a reciprocal love within our hearts. Wow, God did that for me. God knows the hurt that this will bring, and he wants to save me from that hurt. Man, wow, God loves me, right? Romans 5:8 reminds us of this as it says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Right? It wasn't like, oh, wow, you know what? You are so amazing, Darren. You are so awesome. Okay, I love you. Yeah, you can be a part of my family. No. When I was off in the Marine Corps doing stupid things, turning my back on God, the Lord's like, man, I died for you when you were in the midst of this muck. Because I love you. while we were sinners, he died for us. When we realize that God, in his infinite love for all of us, sent his son to die for us, when we truly grasp what Jesus did, it begins to transform our hearts. Because Jesus' death on the cross shows the sacrificial nature of our God's love, a love that pursues us even in our brokenness. In 1 John 4:19, it tells us that we love because he first loved us. Right? He didn't go, okay, now you got it together, I'll love you. No, he sought us out in the midst of our hurt and pain. He loved us first. And so our love for God is a response to his amazing love for us. And when we fully understand this love, his unconditional love, it becomes the driving force that causes us to want to obey his commands and fulfill his mission. Love precedes obedience. And when we recognize the magnitude of God's love, which I don't think we fully can ever understand, but when we see just a glimpse of God's love, it becomes the wellspring from which our obedience flows. So our desire to follow his commands and carry out his mission becomes a natural outflow of his love in us. And this mission to make disciples becomes a joyful and wonderful opportunity to see other lives transformed. The woman at the well, God transformed her life, and she wanted to see others transformed. That this excitement, it enables us to see others' lives transformed. It's a reflection of our gratitude and devotion to the one who first loved us. So as we reflect on this idea of living missional lives, may our motivation be rooted in love, right? A love that propels us to share the good news of Jesus with others. This is what the heart of Pastor Amy was all about. She believed that we are all called to be on mission, that we are sent out into the world to share the gospel of Jesus with others. And some of us might be sent to places around the world. There are some of you in here that you may not know it, but God's got a plan to send you on the other side of the world. Maybe. I don't know. Some of us may be sent around the world someday, but some of us have been sent right here to Dallas or to the community that we live and work in. And the question is, are we living missional lives? Are we going and making disciples? Are we letting our light shine bright for Jesus wherever he has us? We have been sent. That's what being missional is all about. As I mentioned earlier, this is our last sermon in our series, What is Foursquare? And I hope that these messages have been encouraging. And I hope that they've given a little glimpse of what we feel like it means to be a part of the Foursquare denomination. And I want to just end with this. We believe that our founder, Amy Semple McPherson, was anointed by God. And she did amazing things for the kingdom. We are here today, I believe, because of her willingness to say, "Here I am, God, send me." But I also know that she wasn't perfect. If you Google Amy Semple McPherson, you'll read all sorts of things about her and questions and things. And some of them may be true, some of them are lies of people out there that just wanted to hurt her. But I know she wasn't perfect. She had her struggles and failures over the years. She worked herself so hard. She actually died of an accidental overdose. Sleeping pills. She was just worn out and she took too many sleeping pills. And so she was an imperfect person. The Foursquare denomination, I don't claim, I love it, but it's imperfect. It's had its share of failures throughout the years. And we're all human. We have pastors that fail and mess up. But I love that we are a denomination that seeks to be authentic and transparent. And I believe our denomination is full of amazing men and women who love Jesus and who are seeking to carry out His mission, seeking to carry out the Great Commission. And we know that we can do that better by partnering with others, with other denominations and other churches. So yes, I love Foursquare, and I love that I get to pastor a Foursquare church. But the fact that we are a Foursquare church is secondary to the fact that we are a church that seeks to love God and to love people and to see His kingdom extended. That's what we're about, and we hope that everybody joins in that mission. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your love for us. It's because of Your love for us that we are driven to live the lives that You call us to live. And my heart and prayer for each of us, Lord, is that we would understand that this world is far bigger than just us. Lord, You love us. You love each of us intimately. You know the number of hairs on our head. But the same is true about every person in this world. And Your view is from a view of the entire kingdom, and Your desire to see all people come to know You. And You've called us to be a part of that mission, to say yes to You and then to begin to live lives where we encourage others to say the same thing, Lord, where we let Your light shine through us as we are sent into the world, wherever that is, if it's right in our neighborhood, if it's in our workplace, wherever You may send us, Lord, my prayer is that we would be faithful to be obedient to Your calling, to seek to love You with all of our heart, to follow Your commands, to live the life that You've called us to live so that we can be lights that shine bright for You, Lord. We want to be a church. We want to be a people that are on mission for You, that we are faithfully living the life that You've called us to live, Lord. And so we thank You for the mission that You've given us. Help us grow in our love for You so that we can do our best to fulfill that mission. Lord, we just give this message to You today. We pray that You speak to each of us where we're at. Lord, what is it that You want to speak to each of us, Lord? We're all at different places on this journey of following You. We're all at a different place, Lord, in how we fulfill that mission and what that mission looks like to each of us, Lord. So may we grab hold of what You have for us, not what You have for our neighbor or the person next to us, even our spouse or our partner, Lord, that right now we would seek Your will for us and that we would begin to live that out with intentionality each and every day. We thank You for these things. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for just this series. I'm so thankful for who we are as a Foursquare church. But Lord, we know that it goes beyond Foursquare. We're so thankful for the many denominations, for the many churches and pastors and believers who love You. Help us to work together to see Your kingdom extended. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.